2. Nishchaya, firm resolve. The determined and the doubtful. In Sri Upadeshamrita, Sri Rupa Goswami has instructed bhakti sadhakas to be determined. As long as a person lacks determination, he remains doubtful. A doubtful person can never attain auspiciousness. How can faith in bhakti arise in the presence of doubt? In Bhagavad Gita 4.40, it is mentioned, Ajnanascha shraddha adhanascha samshaya atma vinashyati nayam loko asti naparo na sukham sanshaya atmana. Those who are ignorant, faithless, and who have a doubting nature are ruined. A skeptic cannot achieve his well-being in this world or the next, nor can he even achieve happiness. A doubtful person who is faithless and devoid of knowledge of his relationship with Krishna, sambandh gyan, is lost. For such a doubtful person, there is neither happiness nor peace in this world or the next. Those who possess Shraddha are already free from any doubts, because the very meaning of the word Shraddha is firm faith. As long as one has doubt in one's mind, firm faith cannot rise. Hence, a faithful person is always free from any doubts. The 10 ontological truths, Dash Moola Tattva. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has ordered the entire Vaishnava community to know three tattvas, established truths. 1. One's relationship with Bhagwan, sambandha. 2. The means to attain one's goal, abideha. And 3. The ultimate goal of one's sadhana and bhajan, prayojan. Dash Moola, the 10 basic philosophical principles, is comprised of these three tattvas. The first basic principle is that the Vedic Shastras are the only evidence, Praman. To describe Prayojan Tattva, it is essential to first know the Praman. There are 9 Prameyas, subjects that such evidence proves. Evidence is essential in order to establish all these Prameyas also. Different kinds of evidence have been presented in different scriptures. Some scriptures consider direct sense perception, pratyaksha, inference, anuman, comparison, upaman, and so on to be praman, while other scriptures considered various other methods to also be included as praman. The praman presented by Sriman Mahaprabhu, which is obtained by receiving the message of the Vedas through disciplic succession, amnaya, is that praman which is self-realized, and it is also known as the principal praman. Other types of praman are considered secondary. Only this principal praman is worthy of acceptance. Conceivable and inconceivable conceptions. All the different kinds of conceptions, bhavs, in this world can be divided into two types. Conceivable, chinte, and inconceivable, achinte. Worldly conceptions are those that appear of their own accord in the thought process of a human being are called conceivable conceptions, chintya bhav. Transcendental conceptions that are beyond the capacity of ordinary human perception are called inconceivable conceptions, achintya bhav. Without attaining complete, fixed realization of the self, atma samadhi, one cannot understand inconceivable conceptions. Therefore, in transcendental matters, there is no place for those pramans headed by pratyaksha that are based on logic. Achintya khalu ye bhava na tam starkena yojet prakritibhi param yaccha tad achintyasya lakshanam Mahabharata Udyog Parva. All transcendental tattvas are beyond material nature and are therefore inconceivable. Dry argument is within the jurisdiction of material nature, so it can be utilized only in relation to mundane subject matters. It cannot even come close to transcendental tattvas, nor to speak of grasping them. As far as inconceivable conceptions are concerned, the application of dry argument is undesirable and useless. The tattvas that are beyond the 24 material elements are replete with inconceivable conceptions. Evidence based on direct sense perception, inference, and so on cannot enter such spiritual conceptions. The only way to comprehend them is by self-realization, Atma Samadhi. But Atma Samadhi is unattainable for ordinary people. Due to this unfortunate situation of living entities, the most merciful Supreme Lord thus manifested the Vedic Shastras. Shriman Mahaprabhu has said, Maya Mugda Jivir Nahi Krishna Smriti Gyan Jivir Kripaya Kaila Krishna Veda Puran. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 20.122. Living entities bewildered by Maya become oblivious to remembrance of Krishna. So Krishna has mercifully manifested the Vedas and Puranas for them. Ved Shastra kahe sambandh abhide prayojan, Krishna prapya sambandh bhakti prapya sadhan, abhide naam bhakti prem prayojan, purushartha shiromani prem mahadhan. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 20.124 and 125. The Vedic scriptures describe three principles: sambandha, abhideha, and prayojan. Krishna is the object of relationship, sambandha, and bhakti is the means to attain him, abhideha. The ultimate objective, prayojan, is prema, the crown jewel of life's objectives and the greatest wealth. The Vedas are to be accepted as the only praman through which one can comprehend inconceivable conceptions. But there is one thing to consider. The word Amnya indicates the Vedas received through the bona fide disciplic succession. There are various kinds of instructions in the Vedas for different kinds of people according to their qualification. Among all types of qualification, the qualification for bhakti is the highest. By the fact of their bhajan, our previous Mahajans, through means of self-realization, selectively collected Vedic teachings on the qualification to perform bhakti and kept them separate. Therefore, it is essential to learn and follow the Vedic instructions that the previous Mahajans have illuminated and declared beneficial to attain the qualification to perform bhakti. Only by the mercy of Sri Gurudev is it possible to enter the realm of inconceivable conceptions. It is therefore not only difficult, but quite impossible. Shriman Mahaprabhu has clarified this topic through the following parable. One day, an expert astrologer came to the house of a poor man and asked, "Why are you so unhappy, brother? A great deal of ancestral wealth has been hidden in your house. Your father suddenly died in a foreign place and had never even informed you about that wealth. You can find that hidden wealth and live life happily." Falling at the feet of omniscient astrologer, the poor man replied, "If you are merciful, you will let me know where it is hidden. I know about this wealth, but I am unaware of its location. Although I have greatly endeavored to find it, I have always been unsuccessful. You would be doing me a huge favor by kindly letting me know where it is located." The astrologer was merciful. Pacifying the poor man, he replied, "Do not worry about anything, but you must do exactly as I say. There is a huge beehive just south of your house. Do not try to dig there even by mistake, or else the bees will create massive havoc and you will not receive any wealth. If you dig in the western direction, a ghost who stays there will create obstacles. If you dig in the north, a huge python will emerge and swallow your hole. But if you dig just a little bit to the east, you will certainly attain the wealth you so desire." Following the instructions of the omniscient astrologer, the poor man dug a little earth in the eastern direction and attained his hidden ancestral treasure, thus becoming quite wealthy. In this analogy, the all-knower astrologer is the scriptures, and the poor man is the conditioned soul, The scriptures explain to the ignorant conditioned jivas about Sri Krishna, the greatest and the original treasure, and they give the method to achieve him. They declare, do not follow the paths of karma, jnana, yoga and so on, through which one will attain only misery and through which Krishna can never be attained. Krishna is controlled only through bhakti, which is the only means to reach him. Perform Krishna bhajan with faith and you will definitely attain him. When a spiritually inquisitive sadhak anxiously hears from his Gurudev about the principles of Atma Tattva, the truth of the soul, then his consciousness gradually becomes spotless and is led towards Sri Krishna's lotus feet. The scriptures attained through the Guru Parampara, Amnaya, are the only evidence, pramana, regarding the ultimate goal of life. In accordance with this evidence, 9 types of fundamental truths have been described. Based on Amnaya and understanding of Pramaya, that which is proven by the evidence manifests in the pure consciousness. This is known as self-realization and is the principal foundation for the ultimate goal of life. First Pramaya, Sri Krishna is Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagwan. Through the revealed scriptures, we first learn that the supreme transcendental entity Sri Hari is the only worshipful object for all jivas. It is the effulgence of the toenails of that Sri Hari that the Brahmavadis, through their impersonal meditation, perceive as the impersonal Brahma. That very same Hari, through his minute expansion as Paramatma or in the form of Ishwar, carries out the activities of creation, maintenance and annihilation. That Hari is Krishna himself, Paramatma is Vishnu and his effulgence is Brahma. All doubts about the supreme transcendental entity are resolved through contemplating the ontological truth of all-powerful Sri Hari. As long as such doubts prevail in the heart of a sadhak, he will adopt a mood of impersonalism, which is the opposite of material knowledge, and pursue the attainment of the impersonal Brahma. Then to attain Paramatma, who is a minute expansion of Bhagwan, he imagines Ashtanga Yoga and other yogic process to be the appropriate path. After becoming free from all these doubts, firm, one-pointed bhakti for Krishna arises. Second Pramaya, Sri Hari is full of inconceivable potency. On the basis of the authentic Shastras, the second Pramaya is the Parbrahma Sri Hari is naturally full of inconceivable potencies, Achintya Shakti. By compelling one of his potencies known as Nirvishesh Shakti, he appears as Brahma to living entities whose knowledge is undeveloped. Then, by compelling his unlimited potencies known as Savishesh Shakti, Sri Hari manifests his Bhagavata, Godhood, which includes Brahma and Paramatma. Although Nirvishesh Shakti, the potency that is devoid of variety, and Savishesh Shakti, the potency that is replete with variety, are eternally present within him, it is apparent that Savishesh Shakti is more prominent. Parasya Shaktire Vividai Shroyate Swabhaviki Gyan Bal Kriyacha Shvetashar Upanishad 6.7. One hears that Parbrahma has different potencies like Jnana, knowledge, Bala, power, and Kriya, action. This transcendental potency is of 3 different types, namely existence, Sandhani, cognizance, Samvit, and bliss, Haladani. These 3 potencies are easily comprehended by the devotees. Third Pramaya, Sri Krishna is very form of Ras. Amnaya says that the highest aspect of the Absolute Truth, Parbrahma, Sri Krishna is the topmost transcendental Ras. Sri Krishna's interesting form, Sarup, is Ras, due to which both the material and transcendental worlds become intoxicated. Therefore, Sri Krishna has said in Bhagavad Gita, I am the origin of the impersonal aspect of Absolute Truth, Brahma. By the effect of this topmost transcendental rus, there is unlimited variegation in both the spiritual and material worlds. The rus found in the spiritual world is pure, and the rus found in the material world is but a reflection of that. It is not pure rus. By the influence of Bhagwan's inconceivable potency, the transcendental pastimes of Braj, Shivraja Leela, appear in this material world, wherein the unlimited rasas of the spiritual world are present. Every living entity is eligible to obtain this topmost rus, and it is the dharma of the living entity who attain it on the strength of bhajan. The act of striving to attain Brahm is devoid of rus, and therefore not really desirable. In Paramatma Yoga also, there is no such thing as rus. Only Shri Krishna is the interesting form of rus, rus swarup, and only bhajan of him is full of rus. Fourth Pramaya, Jeev Tattva, the living entity's independence and intrinsic nature. Amnya says that the living entities are minute rays coming from Shri Krishna, the transcendental sun. They are unlimited in number. Just as transcendental world manifests from Shri Krishna's eternal transcendental potency, Chit Shakti, and the material world manifests from his external apara or inferior potency, Maya Shakti, the living entities similarly manifest from a part of his eternal transcendental potency which is beyond the material potency. Those qualities that are present in full in Shri Krishna's eternal nature are also constitutionally present in minute quantities within the minute jivas. An independent nature is present in Shri Krishna to the fullest extent, and a particle of this same independent nature is observed to be eternally present in the living entity. Because of this independence, the jivas have various types of tendencies. Through one tendency, the jiva searches for his own happiness, and through another tendency, he inquires about how to please Krishna. As a result of these different tendencies, the jivas are of two types: those who pursue self-pleasure and those who inquire about how to please Krishna. Those who pursue self-pleasure are eternally bound by Maya, Nitya Baddha, and those who are inquire about how to please Krishna are eternally liberated, Nitya Mukta. In the transcendental world, time exists as the eternal present, whereas it appears as past, present and future in material world. Inconceivable, transcendental conceptions are subordinate to spiritual time, Chit Kal. Under the spiritual energy, time exists solely in the form of eternal present. Under the inferior material energy, time exists in three forms, past, present and future. If a person considers all aspects of this subject from the perspective of spiritual time, then he will no longer have any doubt. But if someone considers them from the perspective of material time, then many doubts will arise within him, such as, why does the jiva seek self-pleasure if he is a particle of pure spirit? Bhajan becomes possible only after giving up such doubts. Utilizing logic and argument in relation to inconceivable conceptions only gives rise to anarthas, impediments on the path of bhajan. Fifth Pramaya, two kind of jivas, bound and liberated. The jivas who seek their own happiness accept Maya, which is situated very close to them, and experience happiness and distress in the realm of material time. Due to his misfortune, the jivas become entangled in Maya and suffers in material world by means of his gross and subtle bodies. Karma, action performed in this world, is nothing but an entanglement. There is no limit to this entanglement. However, just as the jiva becomes easily entangled in Maya, he can also be very easily liberated from it. Those who have not come in contact with Maya have no connection to karma. Sixth Pramaya, As a result of the association of devotees, the eternally bound living entities attain liberation. Living entities who are entangled in the deluding material energy Maya are called Nityabaddha, eternally bound. Here, the word Nitya is used in relation to material time. The living entities coming in contact with the spiritual object, Chit Vastu, gives rise to his experience of spiritual time, Chit Kal, and he realizes that his conditioned nature is temporary. By the mercy of saintly persons, and by the influence of spiritual merits that lead one to the path of Bhakti, Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti, accumulated over the course of many lifetimes, the conditioned soul attain liberation from Maya. Bhavap Vargo Brahmato Yada Bhavej Janasya Tarhi Achut Sat Samagama Sat Sangamo Yahi Tadev Sadgatau Paravreshe Toi Jayate Ratihi. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.51.53. O Sri Achuta, you are eternally situated in your original spiritual form. The living entity has been wandering in the cycle of birth and death since time without beginning. When the time for his release from this cycle approaches, he obtains the association of sadhus, and through this, he becomes firmly attached to you, who are the saint's supreme goal and the controller of both spirit and matter. Through the association of sadhus, material miseries are removed, and one attains firm faith in the mercy of Sri Krishna. At that time, by the effect of bhajan and by the mercy of Bhagwan, the jiva pierces the entanglement of the deluding energy. He then attains service to Sri Krishna and residence on the same planet as him in the association of that eternally liberated living entities, Nitya Mukta Jivas. Seventh Pramaya, a relationship of inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference. Krishna and that which is not related to him have a mutual relationship of inconceivable simultaneously oneness and difference. Achinta Bheda Bheda Sambandha. This is why the Vedas mention statements supporting oneness in some places and difference in other places. Siddhanta, philosophical conclusion, is of two types: that which is related to the absolute truth, tattvic, and that which is not, atattvic. Conclusions that are not related to the absolute truth comprise only a small portion of the entire Vedas. Conclusions that are related to the absolute truth comprise the teachings of the revealed scriptures received through disciplic succession, Amnaya, which describes Sri Krishna as a non-dual truth and all-pervading. Only Sri Krishna is the absolute truth and possesses all energies. Although the living entities and material world are manifested by his energies, they all are one single substance. And from the perspective of ontological truth, tattva, they are constitutionally non-different from him. However, from the perspective of potency, shakti, everything other than Sri Krishna, a transformation of shakti, and is therefore eternally separate from him. This eternal oneness and difference is naturally inconceivable, because the ability to discriminate between such oneness and difference is beyond the capability of living entities' material intelligence. When by good fortune the living entity's spiritual intelligence is awakened, he has realization of pure knowledge, Shuddha Gyan, which is endowed with inconceivable oneness and difference. Keeping firm faith in the statements of the revealed scriptures, the devotees, by the mercy of Krishna, can clearly perceive the truth of this inconceivable oneness and difference within a short time. If we use material logic or argument to understand this, we will have a theoretical understanding only. Realized knowledge of the above-mentioned seven proven truths is called Sambandha Gyan. When, through self-realization, knowledge of these seven pramayas manifests in the heart of a sadhak on the strength of revealed scriptures, it may be said that he has attained knowledge of his relationship with the Absolute Truth, Sambandha Gyan. In reply to Sri Sanatan Goswami's questions, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu elaborately spoke on the science of Sambandha Gyan. The questions of Sri Sanatan Goswami are 1. Who am I? 2. Why do the threefold miseries always cause me pain? And 3. How can I attain auspiciousness? Those who truly want to attain auspiciousness will surely ask these questions to Sri Gurudev. After receiving his divine answers, all one's doubts are eradicated and firm faith in Krishna Bhakti awakens. To consider knowledge of reality Tattva Gyan useless and to neglect it is improper, because by means of this Tattva Gyan, one's bhakti to Sri Krishna becomes firmly established. The essence of the above mentioned single praman, proof, and seven prameyas, that which is proven. Now consider this. Of the 10 basic principles that comprise Dash Mula Tattva, the 8 principles are in relation to praman and Sambandha Gyan. The answers that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to the questions of Srila Sanatan Goswami are, from the perspective of praman and prameya, extremely astonishing and clear. A. Praman. The Vedas are the only praman and categorically provide the conclusions regarding Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. B. Prameya. 1. Krishna alone is Supreme Absolute Truth, Param Tattva. He is Swayam Bhagwan, the original Supreme Lord, who has no source other than Himself and the non-dual Absolute Truth. He is full of all opulences and His eternal abode is known as Golok Vrindavan. He manifests as Brahm, Paramatma and Bhagwan in accordance with three kinds of sadhan, Gyan, Yoga and Bhakti. 2. Krishna possesses unlimited inconceivable potencies or shaktis. Among these unlimited shaktis, the most prominent are Chitta Shakti, the spiritual potency, Jiva Shakti, the marginal potency, and Maya Shakti, the material potency. 3. Krishna is the intrinsic form of Ras, Rasa Swarup. 4. The Jiva is an eternal servant of Krishna and is a separate part of Bhagwan, Vibhin Ansha Tattva. The Jiva can be compared to a molecular part of sunshine or fire. These Vibhin Ansha Tattva Jivas are of two types, eternally liberated, Nitya Mukta, and eternally bound, Nitya Baddha. The eternally liberated living entity, being engaged in the eternal service of Krishna, delights in the bliss of divine love, Premananda. 5. The bound living entities, due to forgetting Krishna, have been averse to Him from time immemorial. Maya makes these averse jivas suffer the miseries of material existence from time immemorial. 6. The liberated living entities are free from Maya. 7. The jiva is a product of Krishna's marginal potency, Tatastha Shakti, and has a relationship with Sri Krishna of inconceivable oneness and difference. 8th Prameya. Bhakti to Sri Krishna is the sole means to attain Him, Abhideha. Abhideha, or sadhan, spiritual practice, begins when knowledge of one's relationship with Krishna, Sambandha Gyan, arises. Only bhakti to Sri Krishna is Abhideha. The purport is that the topmost duty of living entities is mentioned in the scriptures and is known as Abhideha. Karma, Yoga and Gyan are extremely insignificant and inferior sadhans. They cannot bestow any fruit independent of the assistance of bhakti. The practice of bhakti, sadhan bhakti, is called Abhideya and is of two types, Vedi and Raganuga. Of the 64 limbs of Vedi bhakti, 9 are known as Navda bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pad Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanin Vedanam. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23. The following 9 processes are accepted as Shuddha Bhakti. Hearing and chanting about Sri Vishnu's transcendental names, forms, qualities and so on. Remembering them, serving His lotus feet, worshipping Him with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to Him, becoming His servant, adopting a friendly mood towards Him, and surrendering everything unto Him. How bhakti, devotion, differs from karma, fruitive acts, and jnana, monistic knowledge. Absorbing one's consciousness in the lotus feet of Sri Krishna through one's body, mind, and words is known as bhakti. Bhakti possesses an extremely subtle distinction from karma and jnana. Many a time, the limbs of bhakti appear completely identical to the limbs of jnana and karma. When these limbs of bhakti are adulterated with desires other than for bhakti, they are known as limbs of karma. When they are adulterated with dry contemplation on Brahm, they are known as limbs of jnana. And when they are free from jnana and karma and are practiced only for the purpose of serving Krishna, they are known as limbs of bhakti. An activity that results in self-pleasure is called karma, and an activity that is performed with the aim of attaining Sayujya Mukti, merging into either the impersonal Brahm or the form of Bhagwan, is known as Brahm Gyan. Sri Rupa Goswami has presented the symptoms of bhakti as follows. Anya Vilashita Shunyam Gyan Karmadya Navritam Anukulena Krishna Nushilanam Bhakti Ruttama. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. That perpetual endeavor for the sake of Sri Krishna that is free from all kinds of desires other than the desire to serve Him, that is not eclipsed by the pursuit of knowledge, fruitative work and so on, that is truly performed exclusively out of love affection for Him through all physical, mental or verbal endeavors and through all emotions that flow without interruption like an unwavering stream of oil is called Uttama Bhakti. The characteristics of Vedi Sadhan Bhakti and Raghunuga Bhakti. Practicing the limbs of Bhakti governed by the rules and regulations of the scriptures is known as Vedi Sadhan Bhakti, and an act of service that is performed under the influence of loving attachment to Krishna is known as Raga Bhakti. The devotion of the Brajvasis for Krishna is Ragatmika Bhakti. Following the example of the Brajvasis is Raghunuga Bhakti. Vedi Bhakti starts from Shraddha, and upon reaching Rati, the stage of Bhav, it becomes one with Raghunuga Bhakti. Raghunuga Bhakti is extremely powerful. This is the 9th Mula, Foundation Truth, and the 8th Prameya. 9th Prameya, or 10th Mula, Krishna Bhakti is alone the goal. According to the statements of Amnaya, prema alone is the goal, prayojan tattva. There are many different stages between sadhana bhakti and the attainment of prema. As a result of spiritual merit, sukriti, accumulated over many times, faith, shraddha arises in fortunate conditioned souls. Those faithful jivas then associate with saintly persons, sadhus. In the association of sadhus, they perform the practice of sadhana bhakti such as hearing, shravana and chanting, kirtan. Gradually, by the influence of sadhana, all desires that impede spiritual progress, anarthas, are eradicated, after which shraddha transforms into firm faith, nishtha. When nishtha is firmly established, it becomes ruchi, a taste for practicing the limbs of bhakti. From ruchi becomes attachment to the object of such practice, asakti, and from asakti, the seed of transcendental affection, priti, appears. When this seed of priti, which is known as rati, thickens, it becomes rapturous divine love, prema. Prema indeed is the ultimate goal of life for each and every living entity. The sadhana bhajan of those who doubt these 10 fundamental teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes meaningless. When doubt arises, bhajan becomes polluted. The jiva whose bhajan becomes polluted is completely ruined. Therefore, those who desire to perform bhajan with purity should do so with firm resolve, nishchaya.